Should you stay friends with your ex? What if your ex is a narcissist?
When you end a toxic relationship with a narcissist, you probably think it's over. But very often, the narcissist has other ideas. In fact, more often than not, the narcissist will do something to suck you back into their drama or even fully back into the relationship, using a technique we call hoovering.
If you've ever been with a narcissist or you're with one now, you know that there's a cycle that happens. First, you have your love bombing or your idealization phase, and then you go through the devalue and the discard, and it's an ongoing cycle, and often it continues for years in that way.
If you've tried to end a relationship with a narcissist, or a narcissist has ended a relationship with you, there are several things you can expect to happen. They might just ghost you and appear to have fallen off the planet for a while. They might be moving forward with a new source of narcissistic supply, and that might mean they don't bother you for a while. They might even try to hoover you back into the relationship with some made-up or exaggerated drama, or even a somewhat expected declaration of undying love.
So the narcissist says they want to stay friends. What do you do now? Do you stay friends? Friends or not? What do you think? Outside of co-parenting, it's almost never a good idea to stay friends with an ex. I mean, every now and then it can work, especially if you weren't together very long or if it wasn't very serious, and maybe if you were friends before. But there's a certain amount of time that it doesn't work at all, and that usually involves a narcissist.
Well, just in case you're new around here, hoovering, of course named after the famous vacuum cleaner company, is what we call it when the narcissist tries to suck you back in after you've left them or ended the relationship, or after they've discarded you. They might use some kind of personal problem or even a dramatic issue to pull you back in, or maybe they'll use love bombing. Hoovering is always an attempt to obtain more narcissistic supply from you, and in many cases, it can be an attempt to reconcile the relationship. It can also just be a form of manipulation that they use to get you to break no contact.
Here's the thing. The I still want to be friends game is most often played by narcissists. According to a study done at Oakland University, people who want to be friends after they break up tend to be those of the darker personality trait, like narcissists and psychopaths, sociopaths. Why is that? Well, according to the study, which was a continuation of some previous research that suggested that people with narcissistic type of qualities are more likely to choose friends for strategic reasons as opposed to just to be friends, and that they prefer short-term relationships. In this study, 861 people filled out a questionnaire that kind of tested them for the dark traits. They also listed their top five reasons for wanting to continue a relationship with an ex. After reviewing their responses, the researchers said that most of the people who did score lower for the dark traits listed reasons that were based in emotion and attachment, like trustworthiness, reliability, and sentimentality. But those who scored higher on the dark traits scale, such as narcissism, those who scored higher for narcissism on that test were more likely to seek the post-breakup friendship or the post-divorce friendship for things like sexual access, things their ex had that they wanted, desirable resources, other stuff like that. So in other words, when we're talking about a narcissist, the deal is their desire for friendship has very little to do with what they could do for the ex or for being friends with the ex. It has more to do with what the ex could do for them. So you probably are willing to be friends because you're attached, because you have feelings for this person, because you're warm toward that person still. While the narcissist will take advantage of that in order to get you to continue to give them the things that they like to get from you, i.e. supply, my friend, supply.
There is no level to which a narcissist will not stoop. Nothing is off limits for them. Here are a few ways narcissists might engage in hoovering you. Number one, finally saying that one thing you've been dying to hear. Yeah, narcissists are infamous for holding things over your head and for feeling justified in not giving you what you want and what you need in a relationship. For example, if you were dating a narcissist for 10 years and you just wanted them to pop the question or whatever, well, they might hoover you back in with a diamond ring and a proposal if that's why you left. Or if you were married to the narcissist and you always wanted a baby, guess what? Suddenly they got parental feelings. They might try to hoover you back in with an offer to have a baby with you. Which brings me to number two, future faking you. They are known for their future faking ways, you know, where they promise you this amazing life together and never follow through with it. Yeah, many narcissists will use future faking as a way to suck you back in. They will promise you the world. Maybe they promise to buy you a house, or maybe they promise to finally go to couples counseling with you, or to really stop cheating on you this time. Most often they fail to deliver, but they use future faking in order to get you back into their clutches and back into that relationship. Which brings me to number three, getting you involved in their drama. Now, as someone who has struggled with codependency, you're especially susceptible to helping people in need. That couldn't be more true for someone you've love or have loved. So a narcissist might come to you with some big problem or issue in their lives that they need your help with. This could be something as serious as the death of a loved one that they just can't make it through without your support, or something as simple as an argument with a friend or a coworker. One example I gave earlier is that client that I mentioned whose ex tried to Hoover her back in by bringing his sick dog to her house and asking her to help take care of him. Like I said, there are no limits for narcissists. That brings me to number 4, the accidental butt dial. This is when they accidentally call you or accidentally sent you a message meant for someone else. It's a sneaky one. They will often accidentally call your phone or text you something random at mysterious times so that you're enticed to call or text back or ask what they need, what they meant by that text, or why they called in the first place. Then, of course, they're going to pretend it was an accident or that they meant to call or text someone else. And before you know it, what's going to happen? You're in a full-on conversation during which the narcissist will try to pull you back into that circle of supply on some level. Which brings me to number 5, swearing they can't live without you. Once the narcissist recognizes that you have truly moved on, a lot of them will use a resounding declaration of love. They'll claim they can't live without you. They'll say they're your soulmate or you're theirs, and they'll even pretend to admit their own flaws and faults in order to get you to fall for it. This will effectively begin an entirely new period of love bombing, all designed to suck you back into the relationship. That brings me to number 6, engaging flying monkeys to do their dirty work. Yeah, narcissists always have a crew of flying monkeys on hand. These are people that are happy to do their bidding for them. This may include flying monkeys who are willing to help them manipulate you without remorse, and it might also include some unwilling flying monkeys, as in well-meaning people who really care about you but who fall for the narcissist's lies, and even though they're really trying to help you, they're still messing with your life. See, narcissists will send them your way with worries and concerns about your or the narcissist's well-being, all designed to get you to communicate directly with the narcissist or indirectly through the flying monkey, and ultimately to manipulate you with drama. That brings me to number 7, suddenly recognizing the error of their ways. In a last-ditch effort to get you back into the relationship, some narcissists will come to you in tears. They'll tell you they're a terrible person, even admitting everything they did wrong, which is often done by just parroting back exactly what you've been trying to tell them for the entirety of your relationship. They'll say things like, "I know I don't treat you right, and you really do deserve better than me," in order to soften you up and pull you back in. Number 8, using fear and intimidation to bully you. Some narcissists are even going to go so far as to try to scare you back into the relationship. They might also use guilt or blame shifting to force you back in. And bullying is a very common manipulation tactic for most narcissists.
Of course, on the other side of this coin, narcissists hate to be rejected. They hate to fail. And so sometimes they'll try to stay friends with you. In addition to those practical and sexual reasons, they'll try to stay friends with you just because it proves that that you haven't rejected them and you haven't pushed them away. This way, they don't experience narcissistic injury. So maybe the narcissist feels like their social status is elevated because of you, or they feel like you're, you know, a trophy spouse, or somehow you being around helps their self-confidence and self-worth. But they don't want to continue in the relationship. They'd rather be able to go around and do whatever and whoever they want, right? So this way, they get the best of both worlds. They can both keep you around and use you for supply as needed and still have sex with other people. That's why a narcissist wants to stay friends, my friend.
The next question on the minds of nearly any narcissistic abuse survivor is, at this point usually, how can I avoid the Hoover? So here are a few of the most important things you can do. First up, number 1, remember that knowledge is power. Simply be aware of the fact that the narcissist might try to Hoover you, and become familiar with the signs of Hoovering. That's what you're doing right now. That in itself can be enough to help you avoid falling for it. Knowledge is power. That brings me to number 2, use the gray rock method. As in, don't show any emotion and only talk to the narcissist if you must about what you must. If you have no shared children or no shared business, you can absolutely go completely no contact. Number 3, if possible, completely eliminate their ability to contact you. Change your phone number, block them on social media, and don't answer the door if they come a-calling. Focus on you for once. Take the time you need to do self-care, to do that redecorating project you've been meaning to do, or even to just do more nice stuff for yourself. You deserve it, and it'll help you distract yourself from the narcissist's Hoovering attempts, if nothing else. Which brings me to number 4, reconnect with your old friends and make some new ones in the process. While you absolutely should not jump into any romantic relationships too soon after ending one with a narcissist, because obviously you should heal first, it's a great idea to dive into your friendships. Since most likely you've lost touch with your old friends as a result of the narcissist isolating you during the relationship, what better way could there be to celebrate the end of it? Reach out to your old friends and consider making new ones by getting involved in a group of like-minded people. Maybe that means taking a class or going to church or synagogue or joining a local club. You can also look at sites like meetup.com to find groups of local people with similar interests. And hey, if that feels like too much, don't forget, you can always start with one of my online support groups for survivors of narcissistic abuse. You can check those out at the link right here. But even if you do fall for hoovering and you get back into the relationship with a narcissist, I want you to remember that chances are you will not see the change you want, or if you do, they will be temporary. Because once the narcissist knows that you're back in and they've got their hooks firmly implanted in you again, they're going to go back to the way they've always been, and it might happen sooner than you would expect. Don't fall for the hoover. Don't fall for these sneaky tricks that narcissists pull to get you back into the relationship. You deserve better than that, my friend. And if you can get through this hard part, the part that feels so painful, you will be glad that you held out and resisted, because you will see that life is so much better on the other side. I promise you. But what are you supposed to do if the narcissist just won't leave you alone? How do you deal with a narcissist who refuses to allow you to use no contact or low contact to heal yourself? After all you want is peace. And in order to get that, you need the narcissist to leave you alone. Whether it's an ex, a parent, a sibling, or a coworker, sometimes they just won't leave you alone. Maybe because you're a great source of supply for them, or because something in them feels the need to perpetually torment you. I think we can all agree that dealing with a narcissist is always emotionally and even physically exhausting, especially since you have to deal with little fits of narcissistic rage if something doesn't go their way. They can be verbally, emotionally, and psychologically controlling, abusive, and once you've seen them for what they are, you can't unsee them. Even if a part of you wishes they'd become the person they promised you in the first place, or if the other part of you feels guilty, the truth is that the biggest part of you knows that this person is toxic in your life, and that if you're ever going to be able to begin to create the life that you truly want and deserve, you've got to extricate them in no uncertain terms. So how do you get a narcissist to leave you alone? Now, obviously, learning to set strong boundaries and going no contact with a narcissist would be the ideal thing to do. As uncommon as it feels and as difficult as this can be, no contact can and will work with a parent, a sibling, or even an ex if you don't have to co-parent with them. It'll work if you're dealing with a narcissistic coworker, boss, or a friend, an acquaintance. And just real quick, in case you're unfamiliar with no contact, it's what happens when you literally block the narcissist from contacting you at all. You stop seeing them, speaking to them, and otherwise communicating with them. This, done successfully, will prevent them from harassing you. Of course, in many cases, this leads to the inevitable hoovering stage, like I mentioned, meaning they try to suck you back into the relationship. And that, if we're being honest, means they're trying to hook you back in for their own gain, usually for the narcissistic supply of some kind or another. Hoovers might come in the form of drama or pretending to need help with something that only you can do, or even that declaration of undying love I mentioned a moment ago. When they use the hoover maneuver, the narcissist might say things like, "Oh, I totally miss you," or give fake apologies. You need to stay strong and keep your boundaries firm if you're not going to give in to them when they do that. However, if you cannot go no contact, there are other ways to get them to stop bothering you. The first one I'm going to share with you might shock you a little, but when you're struggling with getting a narcissist out of your life because you personally don't want to let go, you got a big problem on your hands. While you know logically that they are toxic for you, trauma bonding, abuse amnesia, and feeling lonely can be big deterrents to actually letting go of the narcissist. Which brings me to number one, get justifiably angry. Yeah, I don't know about you, but for me, the effects of anger become very physical. And if I allow myself to stay angry for long, it's not good for me or anyone else. If I stay upset for long, I find that I get sick to my stomach, I clench my jaw, give myself headaches, and I tense up every muscle in my body. You know how it is. It's a miserable way to live. Have you experienced this? The strong effects of emotions on your body? But despite what some toxic gurus will tell you, anger is not a wasted emotion if you use it to your advantage. And as it turns out, it does not negatively affect you physically when it is actively propelling you toward a goal that will make your life better in some way. In fact, it can definitely serve a purpose in your recovery from narcissistic abuse. How? Well, justified anger is sort of like fear with a little courage thrown in. And if I'm being honest, ending my relationship with my ex was sparked by anger. Same for my narcissistic parent. I was angry. In fact, I had to get angry before I could get away. Another time anger served me well was when I lost 100 pounds a few years ago. In order to make the long-term difficult commitment necessary to take off all that weight, I had to get really mad at both myself and the world to get going. Now, there is such a thing as constructive anger, and it is this kind of anger that causes you to stand up and to create positive change in both yourself and your life circumstances. Sometimes, anger can help neutralize your fear and power up your gumption to get you through the hard transitions. You know, the things that you just might be afraid to conquer without that little push of emotion. Listen, the psychology psychology of justified anger is pretty powerful. According to Harry Mills, PhD, anger can also be a substitute for emotion. By this, we mean that sometimes people make themselves so angry that they don't have to feel pain. People change their feelings of pain into anger because it feels better to be angry than it does to be in pain. If you're trying to get a narcissist away from you, find a way to get angry at them for all the horrible things they did to you. This will not only propel you forward and keep your eye on the goal, getting the toxic poison out of your life, but it may also shock the narcissist into realizing that you're actually done with them. With this being said, your anger should be directed toward moving forward for yourself, not any sort of revenge toward the narcissist, at least not directly. This is for two reasons. First, narcissists are dangerous, and if you do anything to directly take revenge on them, you can rest assured they're going to come back at you twice as hard. And second, not only do you not need any more negative energy in your life, but the very best revenge against any narcissist, my friend, is to live your life well without them, taking away the thing they need the very most, narcissistic supply, and giving yourself the peace, the space, and the time you need to heal and live your best life. Which brings me to number two, get your emotions in check. Sometimes you've got to deal with a narcissist for some reason. For example, you can't go no contact with a narcissist if you're co-parenting with them. Or if you're dealing with one at work, sometimes you're stuck. But what you can do is use the Grey Rock method, which means
not engaging the narcissist. You keep the emotion out of it. When they try to manipulate you or provoke you, which inevitably they will, you just kind of act like you're detached from the situation. It's a sort of air of professional detachment, even in a personal relationship. You almost try to see them as a stranger and communicate on that same level that you would communicate with someone you don't really know.
You become so uninteresting that the narcissist has no other choice but to leave you alone, eventually. You literally almost become the Grey Rock itself. You act boring and uninteresting. The narcissist might look to pick a fight due to differences in opinion, or maybe they just want to get a rise out of you for some reason. But if you won't make eye contact with them and you keep your body language under control, reply with things like, mm-hmm, or oh, aha, or hmm, that's interesting, and use vague one-word answers, well, they're going to have to give up. They're going to get bored. Basically, you refuse to show them any emotion whatsoever. Now, it's hard when you try it at first, but once you see it working, you're going to notice something. The narcissist is either going to be a little shocked or they're actually going to up their manipulation game a little at first. Now, at this point, I want you to feel very powerful because you're going to know it's working. Just hold out, and eventually they will realize you're no longer going to give them the reaction they want from you, and they're going to go bother someone else. That brings me to number three, get this narcissist out of your system. This is the most difficult one of all in so many ways. You can do what you can to Grey Rock and show no emotions, but eventually you might cave if the narcissist keeps triggering you. Part of the reason they're so good at pushing your buttons is that they installed some of them, as in their abuse has created certain triggers in you, and they are quite familiar with how to dig at you in order to get those trigger moments flowing. So if you're gonna get the narcissist out of your life, you have to get them out of your head. In a way, you have to do a detox of them so that you can remove them from your emotions, your thoughts, your state of being, all of that stuff, your energy. This way you're gonna be unaffected by their behavior. Now, this might require coaching or therapy as well as meditation and journaling, but you can do it yourself if you're willing to give it a shot. It does not matter whether you have to deal with them or you've gone no contact with them. You just need to get them out of your energy, out of your space. Because if you come across the narcissist after going no contact and they see they're no longer getting to you like they once did, then that will be incredibly powerful. They will see that you aren't bothered by them genuinely. They will also leave you alone if they really do see that you're not vulnerable to them anymore. To do your own narcissist detox, start with your personal space. Remove anything that reminds you of the narcissist. If you're living in the same space that you shared with the narcissist, consider replacing or rearranging the furniture and the decor in a new way. Wash the curtains or replace them if you can, and change the comforter on your bed. Switch things up a little bit. Now, something I've been doing with several of my clients is I've been using something called an expedited grief weekend. This is where we talk several times a day for 15 minutes each time. And on those calls, they get little assignments that help them get through the most painful parts of grief. And then by the end of the weekend, they have a plan for going forward without the narcissist and with less immediate pain. If you want me to make a video explaining the process that I use, I will be happy to do that. Let me know in the comments. But this is something you can do on your own. Number four, what if the narcissist won't leave your house? In a lot of cases, this is the deal. The narcissist refuses to leave your home even when the relationship has been officially ended. good. In many cases, this is about control. In some cases, it's more because the narcissist doesn't have the money or the ability to move. But in any case, the narcissist knows leaving the home will mean a more permanent disconnection of narcissistic supply, and so they want to remain in control as long and as much as possible. If this is the case for you, there are certain things you can do. First, if you own the home and the narcissist has a job outside the home or any other reason they leave at scheduled times, you could pack up everything they own, put it in a storage locker, and pay 1 month's rent on it. Then you could change the locks on your place, tape a note to the front door explaining where their stuff is, along with the storage locker key. Alternatively, you could go through the legal eviction process in your area, which is probably the right thing to do technically, especially if they've stayed in the home longer than 90 days. Now, if the narcissist owns the home or you own the home together, you may need to either prepare to move or get your attorney involved, because getting them out of the house will be a little harder. Now, if physical abuse becomes an issue, you can definitely contact the police after the incident and be sure to press charges. This will buy you a little time. You can get a restraining order, move their stuff out of the house into that storage locker we talked about, and then in any case, always be aware of the eviction laws where you live in case the narcissist does try to get litigious with you. Getting a narcissist to leave you alone takes work, it takes emotional discipline, but my friend, it can be done, and you can be free of them even if you're unable to go no contact. So this brings me to the question of the day.
Question of the day.
Question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you been hoovered by a narcissist? Has a narcissist ever tried to do anything sneaky to suck you back into the relationship? Did you fall for it or not?
Have you tried to be friends with a narcissistic ex before? How did it work out for you? And if you haven't, would you try it? And why or why not?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. Now listen, if you have an experience with this, I would genuinely appreciate it if you would share it below, because you can help our fellow survivors to maybe avoid a Hoover in the future or to not feel so alone if it does happen to them. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.